Hey there, dudes and dudettes, and welcome to Tubular Time Machine, the podcast that cranks the nostalgia dial all the way to 11. I'm your host, Jason Raz Rasmussen, and each week we jump into our gnarly retro ride and rocket back to a specific year between 1971 and 2010, reliving the raddest music, movies, TV shows, video games, toys, slang, and pop culture moments that made growing up in the United States so totally bodacious. But I'm not flying solo. Every episode features a special co-host who is exactly 14 years old that year, ready to dish on everything from mixtapes and mall food courts to butterfly clips and blowing into NES cartridges like a wizard. So grab your slap bracelet, rewind your cassette, and fire up the Tubular Time Machine theme song, where the past is always rad and the vibes never go out of style. This week on Tubular Time Machine, we're heading back to 1978 with someone who lived it firsthand and lived it loud. Joining me is the wonderful Lori Vandermeer, who was just 14 years old that year and soaking up all the pop culture goodness that the late 70s had to offer, from bell bottoms to boomboxes to disco balls and debut albums. Lori is not only a true child of the 70s, but also a mother to three amazing daughters and someone with one of the biggest hearts I know. I first met Lori 10 years ago at a charity event in Florida, and from that day on, I knew I was lucky to call her a friend. She's insightful, kind, and full of stories that bring the past to life, and I'm thrilled to have her here to help us rewind to 1978. Lori, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jason. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great. I'm glad you're here. This is fantastic. You know, and hitting 1978 is going to be a great one.
Sure is. Lots of good memories.
Now, I am going to put a little sub-note here in regards to the podcast. Yes, we've had a little bit of about a month break, but in there was 2 weeks on vacation, and prior to that, it was hard to get some people to do some podcasts. So I'm glad you're here, because we'll get this thing rolling once again and back on track. So I'm excited to talk about 1978 and your experiences. So that be the case, what was your favorite movie in 1978?
That's a tough one to pick just one. Can I pick two?
No, absolutely not. Yeah, of course, you can pick as many as you like.
Well, definitely Grease, because I went to see that one in the theaters and, you know, listened to the record album all the time with my friend. That was definitely up there. And Jaws 2, saw that one in the theaters as well. And it's still one of my favorite movies.
Jaws 2, huh?
Yes.
Interesting. Why Jaws 2 over Jaws 1?
Well, I hadn't seen Jaws 1 because I was younger when that one came out. So Jaws 2 I had seen in the theater. And then my mom had taken me on a trip up to Martha's Vineyard in 1978, shortly after Jaws had come out. And there was because it was filmed partially up there, there was a lot of movie stuff around. The boat that the police used was parked there in the Martha's Vineyard Harbor. There was a lot of things to see from the movie. So it was a lot of excitement. And I remember that one more than the original, because I did not see that one until after Jaws 2.
I can see the connection now. It makes a lot of sense. Now, as for Grease, Grease is one of those movies I love and I love to hate at the same time. Well, I love it because, yes, I love the music in it. It's obviously one of the ultimate U.S. musical, you know, theater shows played in high schools around the country every year. Plus, it's just a fun one with the hand jive and all that. I learned the hand jive actually at Disney World at Pleasure Island, I think it was. I learned the hand jive.
Oh, wow.
But the thing I think that drives me crazy about Grease is that these students apparently are not the brightest bulbs in the package, because I think they're going on their super, 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 super senior years.
Very true. But when you're 14, you don't even notice that. You know, it was just great music. It was, you know, I was a freshman in high school, so it was a lot of fun, and it was fun listening to the records and singing along, and it was just a great, great movie. I still watch it and get nostalgic when I see it. All around good songs, and I loved it.
I actually, you know, you might be surprised in this one knowing how many movies I watched, but I actually did not see Grease until about maybe 4 years ago, 5 years ago, somewhere in there. You know, it had taken that long. I listened to the soundtrack. I knew the music, but I had not seen the movie until about 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, wow.
I know, right? Me, Mr. Movie, had not seen it until then. Grease, any other fond memories? Who was your favorite character?
I liked Danny Zuko, of course, because John Travolta was coming off of Saturday Night Fever fame, and he was very cute. And I loved the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack, and it was on the radio still, the whole disco thing. But I did not see that film in theaters because I can't say for sure, but I don't think that my mom would let me go see that one in theaters. But I liked the music. But yeah, I liked him, and I really like Marty on there.
Oh
Marty
yeah.
Maraschino.
Yep.
She was funny.
I can see that. I enjoyed that film though. Like I said, as an educator though, seeing it, it's like, oh my goodness.
I know. I know. It's when you get older and you watch it, you see all those things and it's like, wow, they're like 30 years old and they're in high school and it's just kind of cringeworthy. But the music is still good. I still enjoy the music.
Absolutely. So Grease and Jaws 2 were your two of your favorites. Any other films that stood out from 1978 that really, you enjoyed or came to enjoy?
I did enjoy Ice Castles. I was a big Robbie Benson fan. I had seen him in Ode to Billy Joe. I thought he was really cute. So I loved that one. It was also had ice skating, which I liked watching.
Apparently the standard that you need to have for the films in 1978 as a 14-year-old is that you have to be cute.
Exactly.
Then of course Robbie Benson went on to voice the Beast.
Exactly. He had the most beautiful eyes, though. He and that voice. The voice was just, yeah, very cute. So that's what a 14-year-old girl wants to see.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. If you listen to any of my past podcasts, we come across like Christina Ricci and a couple others, that we talked about, and it's like, well, there's a reason to watch those films,
And another thing about Jaws 2 that I think I liked is it was all teens in that movie. Basically, I mean, of course there was Chief Brody and all that, but it was full of teenagers. So that was a bonus too.
That was a big thing, especially starting in the late 70s into the early 80s, where all the beginnings of the teen films, the ones that were very catered to teens.
Yes.
So you got Ice Castles, which I can say I've never seen. That's just I'm not really a ice skating kind of person, I guess.
Yeah, that's probably a chick thing. So I didn't ice skate much myself, a little bit. I just enjoyed watching it. It was just one of those things that was fun, but probably more so for Robbie Benson than anything else.
So let's see. There's a bunch of other good ones than this year as well. Anything else that stood out to you?
Well, not from back in 1978. I don't think I had seen any of those during that time period. Of course, now, I love Halloween and some of the others, but I don't think I saw any of the others when I was actually, when I was 14.
No Superman the movie?
No, I was not into Superman.
Oh, that's a shame. That's still the best Superman movie out there.
Little too young for Animal House.
Yeah, it's a shame because I think I saw Animal House probably when I was in my mid-teens, but that was one of those go to a friend's house that had it on VHS kind of thing. The Deer Hunter, I'm definitely thinking 14-year-old Lori did not see the Deer Hunter in the theaters.
I did not.
Oh, that movie messed you up. I did see The Wiz in the theaters back then.
I heard I had heard of it, of course, but I hadn't seen it at that point.
The Wiz is an interesting one because I used to ride my bicycle to the movie theater because it was close. And The Wiz is one of those films that back then it was great. They loved the music, Michael Jackson, all kind of thing. But then watching it as an adult, it is a creepy movie.
I can imagine.
And you didn't watch the family-friendly Watership Down with the cute little bunnies?
I didn't.
Why?
I don't know what I was doing, but I did not see that one.
Oh, you would not have liked that as a 14-year-old. That movie is dark. There's some good ones though, but like you said, some of these were probably too old for a 14-year-old. Animal House being the big one, and obviously Halloween and the Deer Hunter being two of the biggies.
Yeah, I didn't get to many movies because I lived in the middle of nowhere. So going to the movies, I did my brother and his girlfriend took my friend and I to see Grease, and then I went with a friend to Jaws 2. I think we were dropped off at the mall or something and we went to see it. So, it was harder to go to movies because, you had to get transportation and everything, and there was a lot more parental supervision, I guess, about what movies you could see and stuff like that. So it was a whole different vibe back then.
Yeah, I think if I know correctly, well, Jaws 2 was rated PG, but I can't remember if the rating system had been instigated yet.
We were able to get in and see it, and I don't know. nowadays it probably would be at least PG-13, if not R. But I don't think there was a rating system, honestly, back then.
No, I think it came around early 80s, if I remember correctly. I might be wrong on that. That's something I should research. Okay, great. Well, for movies, anything else you want to talk about in the movies before we move on to television?
I don't think so. Okay. I think that covers them.
And then in 1978, some of the top TV shows, there's a lot of them here I definitely grew up on. What were some of your favorites?
Oh, wow. A lot. I was reeling into, on Saturday nights, I loved watching The Love Boat and Fantasy Island. Love to see who was going to be on The Love Boat, because a lot of times it was people that I was watching on TV already, young people. Of course, there was always those older people that you'd be like, oh, annoying, you know, that they were on. But every once in a while, you got Bayo or the kids from Little House in the Prairie, or one of them would come on, and I would love it. Christy McNichol, any of them. I loved it when they were on The Love Boat. Same with Fantasy Island. Always watch that. Always watch Little House in the Prairie. Tuesday nights was Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley, of course.
Yep, those two back to back, yep.
Loved those. Loved Eight is Enough. I occasionally watched The Waltons, but a lot of times they were just kind of boring to me at the time. Now I love it, but back then, if it wasn't about one of the kids, like one of the younger kids, then I kind of lost interest and didn't really want to watch it. So that's kind of how that went. I did watch MASH, and I really liked that, and was kind of sad to hear that Hot Lips passed away recently.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a bummer. I watched Chips, Ponch and John.
Yep.
And I watched, I believe I watched The Incredible Hulk. I remember, was it Bill Bixby on that?
Yeah, Bill Bixby. Yeah. And you should know.
Yes. I did watch that then. I remember that, and I watched that. So those were them. And Three's Company, I did watch that.
See, I'm looking through this entire list of the top 20 of 1978, and there's only one show on this list that I didn't watch, and that was Dallas. Everything else I have seen at some point in my teenagerhood. You know, because it's got in all the ones you've listed, but you missed a biggie. You missed Robin Williams' debut.
Mork and Mindy. Yeah. I did watch that a little bit, but honestly, it just wasn't for me. I wasn't a big fan of that show.
Maybe I wasn't in Colorado at the time, so I'd say maybe it's because it was supposed to be in Colorado. But Robin Williams, hairy old Robin Williams was young in that one there. You know,
he was. And I think he was on Happy, he either appeared on Happy Days or Laverne and Shirley, I think, at one point also.
I didn't know that.
As a guest star with the Hallmark and Mindy thing. So.
Yeah, that's one thing that was fun about TV in this time, even listing these shows, but also they used to have like Battle of the All-Star TV celebrities, whatever, and the circus event, you know, where they have the different TV stars doing circus events. There were a lot of crossovers and things.
I loved those. I always watched the Battle of the Network Stars, and I always watched the circus ones. I thought they were so much fun, and they usually had a good mix of younger, you know, actors and actresses, as well as some of your faves. Like, I know Dan Haggerty was on some of them. He was the Grizzly Adams guy, and Christy McNichol, again, Scott Baio, all of them were always doing the circuits of these, and I always watched it and loved. I loved the competition. It was kind of like a Survivor for us old folks.
There you go. I like that. And for those that don't know, Lori and I both share a love of Survivor and reality TV and things. So, yeah, that's how we met at our charity event initially, you know, a decade ago now. What, you know, you mentioned different shows and all that stuff. One of them that stands out to me is WKRP in Cincinnati that came out in 1978. But every Thanksgiving, everyone is reminded 100 times of one of the best comedy scenes in television history with the turkey drop.
Yeah, I don't know anything.
You don't know the turkey drop?
I don't.
Goodness, Laura. I have to educate you after this. For those that might be unfamiliar with this, what it was is there's a character. He's this like kind of like a little, I don't want to say Weasley. He's this guy that would be in your office that would be kind of the annoying, you know, one that you don't really want to hang out with us because he's so annoying and follows all the rules and all that. But his name is Les Nessman. And for a Thanksgiving promotion, they decided that they were going to gift the city with turkeys, you know, for Thanksgiving dinners and things. But they Les Nessman, you know, was down on the ground reporting it. And what it is that there's a helicopter and they start, you know, throwing turkeys out the side of the helicopter. And the boss of the company basically says, "I swear to God, I thought turkeys could fly." Yeah. He's talking about like a war scene, basically reporting a war scene of bombs dropping on the city. It's a classic. You know, it's one of these that you'll see every year. I'll have to educate you on that one because that's great.
I'll have to look for it now. I mean, I did watch the show a couple of times. It just wasn't, yeah, I'm familiar with the show. It just wasn't one of my more preferred shows to watch. Maybe it was just over my head back then.
The thing is that we didn't bring up, or we haven't brought up, is that in television, especially in 1978, you only had the three or four stations total. And so if you're watching Laverne and Shirley and Three's Company or Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley in one night, you're missing ads on the other stations because there's no VHSs, there's no VCRs, so you can't record them. So you're missing out on other shows. That might be the case too.
This is true. Yes. I remember always getting the TV guide and, you know, looking to see what was on or whatever. And because there was no, that's how you found out what was on, is through the TV guide or in the Sunday paper. They had a list of what was going to be on and you could only choose just one. That was it. So I had my favorites on there. And a lot of these I saw, you know, I saw bits and pieces. Like I've seen a few episodes of Taxi, but I can't say whether it was in 1978 or later reruns. Like I've seen Dallas, but it was definitely not when it came out in 1978.
Yeah, I think Dallas was probably above our head. I was a little younger than you here and stuff, but Dallas is probably a little over our heads in regards to being more of a drama than anything else.
Yeah, definitely. Different Strokes, I did watch a little bit. That was the one with Willis, right?
Yep. What you talking about, Willis?
Yeah. I remember I liked Dana Plato, who later on had, you know, passed away at a very young age. So I did watch that on occasion.
How was watching television with your family? Was that a family event or was it just kind of like, you know, everybody watched their own thing in their own time?
Mostly it was a family event, but we had a family room, and then we had like another, I guess we call it a den. So we had two TVs, and I remember watching some things with the family, like Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, but I know 100% like The Love Boat and Fantasy Island, I was watching by myself in the den, and Eight Is Enough, things that like probably the rest of the family wasn't interested in. So it was kind of a mix of both.
Yeah, did you have the TV trays like us?
Oh, yeah. TV nice tables, definitely.
Yep, the metal, you know, wobbly TV trays. You know, you can sit and watch and eat at the same time.
Yes.
Okay, any other comments about TV? Anything that really, you know, made you excited about watching television back then?
I mean, there was a lot of good shows, and I loved all of those shows. So definitely something for every night of the week. And they're all shows that still a lot of them I would, you know, watch reruns now today. They were just good TV shows.
Oh yeah. We're actually watching through MASH, my wife and I, again, you know, going through the entire series. I'm trying to see if there's anything else I bought for my collection here. I do have season one of WKRP in Cincinnati. I think I have The Incredible Hulk as well. You know, I've rebought just to watch again kind of thing.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that one was available.
Which one? The Incredible Hulk?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Normally, it can drop to about $20 or less for the entire series. Okay. Well, that being the case, let's move on to music. What kind of music did you like listening to back in the 78?
Pop music mostly, but I did like a little Meatloaf.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, I bonded with this guy in high school over Meatloaf. So I did like him, and, you know, disco was everything. I listened to the Bee Gees, of course, a lot of Saturday Night Fever music, and the Grease, had the record album from Grease and was always singing along with that. That was good. Other than that, I don't know. Mostly just, I really wasn't into like Billy Joel or too much of that kind of stuff. I guess that was for older people. But I did like the Bee Gees, and, you know, disco was everywhere.
Well, on the disco point, and we're going to come back to Meatloaf in a minute, but on the disco point, giving the top 20 of 1978 from the Billboard, it's all disco. Andy Gibb, Bee Gees, you know, Debbie Boone, Bee Gees, Bee Gees, Andy Gibb. It's like, oh my goodness. Yep, it was kind of like the end years of the disco.
Sure was. And then, you know, a lot of the Grease songs were up there in the top 20. I know there's a couple of those on there. And then I really liked the Kiss You All Over song by Exile with A Little Luck by Wings. I do remember listening to those two. High Child in the City, I remember listening to. Some of the others, not so much, but those were definitely ones that I remember.
Interestingly enough, I'll bring this idea into my pop culture class this coming semester, that 1978 was all about the disco. Because like you said, I mean, when Rolling Stones is number 12 on the list, you know, and that kind of thing, it's like, ooh, you know, rough year for rock and roll.
Well, I remember, you know, doing the hustle and we're trying to learn all that stuff, you know, in my friend's basement. We did all of that. The roller skating to the disco music. We had a basement because I grew up up north, and it had a concrete floor and the stairs were in the middle. And so you could go all the way around, roller skate all the way around. And we used to go to the roller rink once in a while. So I always wanted to practice, you know, the moves and everything. But I remember the disco ball at the roller rink and the disco music and roller skating. That was a big thing.
I like to hear that kind of stuff. That's the kind of stuff I want to bring up on this podcast, because yes, we talk about the music, the movies, the TV, whatever like that. But those are the things, you know, the roller skating, that's something that's not really, we cover very often, but obviously it's a huge part of life in the time frame, and it had a big effect on you.
It did. I loved roller skating and, you know, didn't get to the roller rink a lot, but I definitely wanted to. Again, it was just growing up in an area that was, you had to go really far to do any of these things, and you had to get transportation and all of that. But it was a good time at the roller rink and I loved it. And skateboarding, I remember, was popular too, but I had a skateboard, but I tell you, I was not good at it.
Skateboard. That's a good picture right there.
Yeah, Lori falling off a skateboard is probably more of the picture. Tried it a few times and I just never really got the hang of it. So I stuck to the roller skates more.
That's okay. Roller skates are just as cool. So I wanted to hop back on that Meatloaf bus real quick. So for Meatloaf, you know, I worked in a music store for a brief period of time, for about a year and a half or so, maybe a little less. And we still had some 45s in there. And I did not know Meatloaf's music when I was working at that point in time. And that was when I was 17, 18, somewhere in there, probably 18 and stuff. And so the manager says, you got to listen to this. And I had never listened to it before that, because the covers looked like they were like really heavy metal, you know, like hardcore heavy metal. And so I never listened to them. And then he popped on the record. Oh, instantly fell in love with Meatloaf. I loved Meatloaf after that. I had to listen to him on a 45 at a music store.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's a strange choice, because my kids were, I remember when Meatloaf was on, he was on the show that Donald Trump did, where it's celebrity thing with the money. Yeah, he was on there. And I remember I got all excited and my kids were like, who is that? You know, and I was like, that's Meatloaf. Like, you got to hear Meatloaf's music. And they were just like, oh, okay. I loved it. I loved his music.
First song you played him was Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
I liked Two Out of Three Ain't Bad. That's probably my favorite song by Meatloaf.
That whole album is just fantastic.
Yeah. Is that the Bad Out of Hell?
Bad Out of Hell 1 and Bad Out of Hell 2 is really good too. But Bad Out of Hell is one of those albums that I'll throw on again and again and again. And if you're ever interested, they did a VH1 Storytellers with Meatloaf, and it's so entertaining to listen to.
Awesome. I will definitely check that out. He's a pretty cool guy.
He was.
I remember like Foreigner and stuff like that too. They had some hits. I do remember liking the pop stuff, but also liking a little bit of like, would you consider Foreigner pop or like classic rock? I'd probably say classic rock.
Well, classic rock now, but back then it would be probably pop.
Yeah, that's a good point. All
music from the time frame classic. I don't know. All I know is now my music I was listening to is now starting to play on the oldies station. So
I know, right?
No. Hey, were you a video game player at all?
We had an Atari. I don't remember the exact year we got it. It could have been around then. I know it was like, it was new when we got it. It was something like really like, wow, this is really cool. And I remember like Space Invaders at the arcade, you know, going to the arcade was a big deal back then. But I definitely remember Space Invaders and Breakout. And of course, later on, Pac-Man, we had that on Atari. But I do remember Space Invaders as one being one of the games that I think was out around that time.
Yep, Space Invaders was probably number one and stuff. Space Invaders was a great one. And I brought up Galaga on a different podcast, but Space Invaders, just as much, you can hear the sound effects in your head when you think about Space Invaders.
Yes, definitely.
And Breakout, I think, was one of the first, no, actually, a Pong, but Breakout was the advanced version of Pong, kind of, sort of.
But Breakout was the one with the little blocks and you had to like bounce the ball. Was that Breakout?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. I liked that one too.
That's one of those games that goes down and as a redone or a revisited one, like every couple of years, practically. There's a new version of that type of game every couple of years. But there's a reason. It's fun.
It is fun. I loved the Atari. I loved playing all those games. I wish that I still had my Atari. Wouldn't that be so cool? Probably wouldn't even like be the same. I'd probably be shocked at the graphics and everything, how poor they were back then compared to the games now. I remember thinking that was the coolest thing when I got it for Christmas or my birthday or something. It was just, I loved it.
I had the Intellivision, so I did not have the Atari, but I did play the Atari. And the hard thing is that rubberized handle and having only the four directions basically and the one button.
Yeah, it was huge too. I remember it was pretty big
Yeah,
controller.
they did a re not a reboot, but like a mini system, like they've been doing with different kinds of systems lately. A few years back, so that's like a tiny little box, but they still have the same controller. And they have like 20 games, 30 games on there, or something like that. You brought up Pac-Man. Yes, Pac-Man did come out later, but Pac-Man on the Atari, that game, it looked nothing like the arcade, but it was still fun as heck.
It was. Yeah, I had a lot of fun with that.
And I mentioned sound effects with Space Invaders, sound effects with Pac-Man. Again, that one instantly in my head, I go, I can get right there and know exactly what the sound effects were.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can hear them.
So let's see. Atari was on the rise, at the home and everything. But yeah, it was still pretty much about the arcades, and yeah, Space Invaders was it. And Space Invaders, Asteroids, Breakout. The arcades were growing. Any other video games?
No, those were the main ones. I remember Space Invaders was my first game I think I ever played on. Well, I mean, besides pinball machines, I loved pinball machines, and those were really popular in the 70s. But Space Invaders definitely sticks out as being the first game that I ever really played that wasn't pinball machine.
I enjoyed pinball machines back then too. Not as much as Fair Play, but that guy, I don't know how he scores so high on his machines, but for those that are unfamiliar with who I'm talking about Johnny Fairplay from Survivor. He's got multiple pinball machines and gets millions of scores, kind of points and things. 1978 Laurie, 1978 Laurie, what were you wearing?
Probably, well, no, I remember. I'm not sure if these were definitely 1978, but I do remember Jordache jeans. They were everything. If you didn't have Jordache jeans, then you were nobody. And that, you know, they were like fringy on the bottom, like they were weird. Like they weren't like, you know how some jeans are hemmed, but the Jordache ones, they just look like somebody took like a paper cutter and just cut them, and they were like frayed and everything on the bottom.
Yep.
Definitely remember those. I remember the really bright colors and velour. I remember having a velour two-piece thing, kind of like sweatpants, only they were like the velour material, and I'm pretty sure it was hot pink. Very bright colors, stuff like that. I remember, yeah, ugly stuff.
That once again, I'm picturing in my head 1978 Laurie in a pink velour jumpsuit on roller skates.
Yeah, definitely. And I remember like polyester everywhere, but not so much for myself as for like adults. I remember adults that the polyester all the time. The polyester suits, like men in those leisure suits. I remember at the roller rink, guys would have the chains and like the open shirt with like the tight polyester shirt. It was really like, now you just be like, ew, you know?
Is that guy on any kind of list? You know?
Yeah, exactly. They look like really pimpy. Like, I don't know. They just did. But that was like, they'd have a mustache and, you know, this big old mustache and these really tight polyester shirts. That was what was in. And I remember that. But that wasn't like really what younger people were wearing. We had the jeans. And I remember I had a Jaws 2 t-shirt. So yeah, that's, I remember the bright colors and polyester. Polyester was everywhere.
Did you have a Jaws 2 lunchbox too?
I didn't. No? I wish I did. Yeah. By 1978, I think I was just using like a paper lunch bag because, you know, I would have been 14. So the lunchbox kind of, I was a freshman in high school, so I wasn't using the lunchbox still, but I definitely remember lunchboxes and they're pretty awesome.
Yeah, we haven't actually talked about that in my podcast yet, the lunchboxes. I mean, unfortunately, you didn't use one, but lunchboxes were huge back then. You know, you could show how cool you were with your metal lunchbox and your thermos inside.
Yeah, and they had all the latest TV shows. I mean, I had those lunchboxes, but it was back, we're talking early 70s is when I would have had a lunchbox. And I think I had a Partridge Family lunchbox and possibly Holly Hobby.
Holly Hobby, oh man.
Yes. I remember it was light blue and white.
So, okay, no lunchboxes in 78, though. But now I'm picturing you at this kind of somewhat sleazy roller skating rink where guys that are in their 30s are hanging around, you know, with chains and toothpicks hanging out the side of their mouth. And, you know.
Yep, mustaches. Got our big mustaches, big hair, all of that.
Oh, man.
I'm surprised, honestly, now, like, that my mom was okay with all of this. When you think about, like, thinking about it, like, I picture it in my mind going there with, like, a friend and being there with all these, like, nowadays, if it was my kids going to roller rink and these kinds of people were there, I probably would be, like, standing there making sure that I'm watching every move.
Oh, heck yeah. I don't blame you either. That'd be, oof, yeah, that's just creepy. But at least you got to have fun roller skating. That's what matters.
Yes.
Great. It's 1978, and that was a good recap. And I think the Jordache, if I remember correctly, one of the first things I remember with Jordache is a Claudia Schiffer ad with Jordache back then, back when the Sports Illustrated models were like all over the place.
Yeah, they were definitely very popular. That, and then the feathered hair was, I couldn't feather my hair. I wanted it so bad. That was what I aspired for myself, was the feathered hair, like Farrah Fawcett. But my hair wouldn't cooperate. So I did not have the feathered hair, sadly.
I think even I had somewhat feathered hair in high school. Somewhat. Not like Farrah Fawcett, but yeah, that would have been really weird.
And the mood rings, those were popular. I did have a mood ring. And yeah. It's funny how we used to believe that was like really predicting our moods.
What color was it most of the time?
Blue.
So you're probably calm and chill and happy.
Yeah.
Good. I never had a, no, I can't, I don't remember if I had a mood ring or not. I didn't have a mood ring. I don't think I had a pet rock either.
I did not have a pet rock. My friend did, but I didn't. My mom thought that they were really silly. So she was like, yeah, no.
I still give a shout out to the guy that decided to market those things. The guy's probably a multimillionaire from selling rocks.
Yeah. Yep. That was something.
Well, I think we got a good encapsulation of the fashion of the time because it paints a pretty good picture. So that's good. Now, moving on to commercials. I always like to put the commercials in there because there are some that are pretty fun from different time periods and stuff. So any of these commercials ring a bell for you?
Oh, yeah, of course. I remember Coca-Cola and the little the song, the Have a Coke and a Smile. It's like a little jingle. I remember McDonald's was everywhere. They had not only the McDonald's characters, they had a lot of the Hamburglar and all of them were in a lot of the ads, but also the You Deserve a Break Today, you know, lingo. And I do remember the You Got Peanut Butter in My Chocolate.
Oh, yeah. You got peanut butter in my chocolate. You got chocolate in my peanut butter.
Yes, that was a classic. And of course, the Toys R Us, that was, you know, Jeffrey the Giraffe, and I Don't Want to Grow Up, I'm a Toys R Us Kid.
Shoot, that ad lasted so long, and it came out in 1978. Didn't realize that.
Yeah, that was really cool. And Pop Rocks, I remember, you know, the whole Pop Rocks thing, and Mikey with the Life cereal. I'm not sure if Mikey was 1978, but I remember hearing about Mikey supposedly dying from the Pop Rocks or whatever. So,
oops, I didn't hear that one.
Yeah, the little boy on the cereal. There was all these rumors when I was in school that he died eating Pop Rocks, and I remember being scared to eat the Pop Rocks after that.
No, my claim on that one is that my mom says that everybody always thought that I was the kid that played Mikey, you know, because I looked like Mikey back then.
Mikey was really cute.
Yeah, so let's see. We blew through those. Have a Coke and a smile, like you said. You know, have a Coke and a smile. You deserve a break today, like you said. Here's a question about Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. And this is one I like to ask. Well, not ask. I haven't asked anybody yet. But this is one I think is relevant to today. Were Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, is this just my imagination? Or they used to be a heck of a lot better back in the day?
They were better.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Because they were so good back then, and they changed the recipe, or I always want to say it's the paper that they put it on in the cases, whatever, but it's just nowadays they're oily and greasy and things, but back in the day they were super good.
True. Yeah, I do get the oily definitely now. They were way better back then.
Good. So I'm not going crazy.
You're not going crazy.
Well, at least on this point.
I remember snack pack pudding in the cans. The snack pack now will never have the smell and the flavor that the one in the can had. I can smell it.
Yep, 100%. Those metal cans were the best.
They were so good. And you'd cut yourself on them and you didn't care because they were just so good. And they just had that distinctive smell, kind of like chemicals, but it was just so good. And it tastes different. It tasted different from the can than it does in this plastic that they has now. Yep. And whole different thing. I would love if they would bring them back in the cans.
Well, the last time I saw them in cans was in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They were handing out, you know, the cans of pudding. But yeah, no, I agree. The old days, they tasted so much better. And nowadays it's like, same thing with fudgesicles. You know, fudgesicles back in the day, having then, they were really good. I don't know if this is just a youth thing or if it's just they changed the recipe a lot, but back then fudgesicles were awesome. And now they're like, eh.
Yeah, I definitely get that.
How about Tab? Did you drink Tab Cola?
I did, 100%. Good old pink can. Tab Cola. And another one I used to drink is Fresca.
Oh, yeah. Fresca's still around.
Yeah, Fresca. It's like a grapefruity taste to it.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen Tab around.
Occasionally I'll see Tab. The Tab was pretty good.
Pillsbury Space Food Sticks. Do you know what those are? I don't remember those.
I never heard of those.
Yeah.
Never heard of those. You know, TV dinners were still a thing. And, you know, I remember having those every now and then.
Once again, better back in the day. Because, I mean, they had the good, like, apple pie or apple pie cobbler or whatever it was. And you know, I don't know about everything else, but, like, the Salisbury steak was really yummy. And yeah.
I remember the brownies in there. I guess, you know, being younger, the brownies were a big hit. I remember the fried chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Several years back, just for memory's sake, went and got myself a couple of these TV dinners, and one of them was a brownie. I'll tell you what, you put that in the microwave and stuff like it says to, it came out like a rock. It was like you couldn't eat it.
Yeah, so that's a good thing is back then, you know, they were getting heated up in the oven. So it was better than, stuff tasted better. The microwave does turn everything to like hard and tasteless.
Okay, I think we got a good job on food and commercials and stuff. Now is the next one's always a fun category. I've done a lot of podcasts that are very close in time frame. So like mid-80s lately. And so now the popular slang in 1978, it'll be fun to hear what slang you were using in 1978.
Well, I remember grody. Grody was like, everything was grody, which grody is like disgusting, you know. I remember using that all the time. Just stuff like far out, I think that was still a thing back then, or still using it in the late 70s.
Funny enough, but normally I still use lingo from different time frames, but there's not really too many I use on this list here. Catch you on the flip side, maybe.
Yeah, I remember, you know, saying I really dig that, or I do remember things being heavy. Oh, that's heavy.
What's the joke from Back to the Future? He goes, is that gravity in the future that much worse or something? You know?
Yes.
Grody lasted for a long time, though, because there was Grody to the Max later on.
Yes. I remember that. Grody and then Grody to the Max. Yeah, that was, to the Max was more 80s. But I do remember Grody for sure. Far Out, I don't know if I really remember saying that so much. Maybe that was, I don't know, not for me personally. But definitely remember most of the, you know, bummer. I remember saying that. What a bummer. Still say that sometimes.
Every once in a while, yeah. I think you nailed it in regards to some of the biggies there. Far Out, I agree. I don't think I've ever said Far Out in my life.
Yeah, it just wasn't something that I remember really using frequently or saying. I remember I remember it being around, like on TV shows and stuff. I remember hearing people say it on there, but I don't remember using it with my friends.
I imagine, you know, Matthew McConaughey and Dazed and Confused, you know, saying that kind of thing. And Matthew McConaughey's character in Dazed and Confused, probably that guy that's like hanging out at the roller skating rink too. Okay, well then we'll move on to some fads. Fads of 1978. We already talked about disco pretty intently.
We did, yes. Yeah, that was everywhere.
I would have loved living in the 78 because I would have totally worn leisure suits.
Yeah, I remember that, you know, adults wearing them. And now they're just so cringy. I don't know. There's just something about leisure suits that are really scary.
Oh, yeah. That's why I would have worn them. They're just, they're so bad. Yeah.
I wanted to go to Studio 54 so bad, but my mother would, of course, never let me. But I remember just wishing that I could get on the train and go, because we didn't live too far from New York City. And I'd take the train with my mom into the city. And I remember just thinking and fantasizing about going into the city on my own and going to Studio 54. And I just thought that would be so cool. But now, later, finding out it was like a drug den, basically. So yeah, kind of glad I never did that.
Little 14-year-old, a new awakening. Let's see, CBs. Did you ever do, you know, CBs? Probably not.
No, I remember them. I remember, again, I don't know what year this was. It was probably later, but I remember BJ and the Bear.
Oh, yeah.
First introduction with CB when he was a trucker. I don't know if you remember that show, yeah, he was like a truck driver. So yeah, that was when the whole CB thing, that's when that became aware for me.
And Smokey and the Bandit.
I never saw that.
You've never seen Smokey and the Bandit?
No, I never.
Oh, my heart.
I know.
The first one's so good. The second one, not so much.
Yeah. Now it's hard to go back and watch these because the kid, I don't have a lot of time where, and you know, we watch like shows all together kind of mostly. And so the girls are just like, nope, too old. They will watch Jaws. They'll watch a few things, but they won't watch a lot of the older movies.
That is a complete shame. I'm going to have a talk with them.
Please.
Yeah. Smokey and the Bandit's great. It's a classic. Did you do rock tumbling at home?
I had a rock tumbler and I did do, yeah, I remember, you know, putting rocks in there and putting it on with the, you know, having one. I got one for Christmas one year.
We got a rock tumbler for my son years ago and we've done a few rounds of it, but it always destroys. I mean, it shrinks them so small. It's like, eh.
Yeah. I don't remember it ever being like being really huge into it, but I know I had one and I remember doing it. It had like a cylinder that you would screw on and off. And you know, I remember doing it a couple times. It wasn't huge for me, but I do remember getting one for Christmas.
One big one for me would have been, I wouldn't have started playing it quite yet. I probably would have started playing this in 1982-ish, I think, 81, 82. But Dungeons and Dragons came out with the first official player's handbook in 78.
Wow.
Actually, we went to the Museum of Pop Culture in Seattle a couple weeks ago, and they had one of the original, you know, boxes and stuff. So that was kind of cool. I took a picture and stuff.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah. If you ever get a chance to go up there, that's actually a fun museum.
Yeah, I've been in Seattle and I didn't catch that one. I'll definitely put that on the list if I get back there again.
Now the big one, which I don't know why it's number 10 on this list, microwave ovens. We already talked about the TV dinners being cooked in the stove, but microwave ovens, you know, were actually out in 78, more affordable.
Yeah, I remember we had one, but I remember more of it in the 80s. So I'm not sure if we had one in 1978. It's kind of hard to remember specifics, but I remember it was ginormous.
They were huge.
A massive size. It was like, whoa, this thing was like, I can't even tell you. It was really large and noisy and all of that. But yeah, we did have one eventually.
And it had the ding at the end. Ding.
Yep, sure did.
Yep, you turn the knob and ding. Yeah, I don't know if we had one in 78, but you know, I couldn't tell you for sure on that one. But microwaves becoming more popular. Of course, we're nuking the food, you know?
Yeah, and more convenient, but it's, I don't know.
I still tend to cook most of my stuff. Okay, so we covered a lot of the fads there. How about, now at 14, this is one of the things I debate taking out of the category once in a while, because the news for a 14-year-old probably doesn't hit the same as the news for an adult. But as a 14-year-old, were there any of these news stories here that stood out to you?
I remember when the Pope died, because I was in school, and I remember it was news at school. So I do remember that. I can't really say about this cult. I kind of vaguely remember about the Jonestown massacre, the whole cult thing. Again, it probably wouldn't have been of interest to me at 14. So
it's the drinking of the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, but I do remember at school, there was a big thing about the Pope, yeah. So out of all the stories, I'd say that one probably resonates the most with my memory.
You said you were in the Northeast, the blizzard?
Yes. I remember the blizzard. I definitely remember the blizzard. It was terrible. I remember my sister's car was buried up past the mirrors, the side mirrors. It was really bad. And I do remember Son of Sam. I remember watching the news late at night, and I remember hearing about, because that was New York City, and I was from Connecticut. I grew up in Connecticut, so it was everywhere on the news. And I remember being really afraid and listening, you know, for updates about the Son of Sam.
Yeah, I was going to say, as a 14-year-old, that'd probably be very scary, yeah.
That I absolutely remember, and I do remember the blizzard. That was, we lost power. And I remember my mom was a stamp and coin lady, you know, she had a lot of collections. And I remember there was nothing to do. So we were using flashlights and stuff and going through stamps and coins. And like she was doing inventories and stuff. And I remember helping her with that. That's what we were doing during the blizzard, because there really wasn't anything else you could do.
We always refer to our blizzard here, at least I do. I've lived here since 88. In Colorado Springs. And so our blizzard was 97. So every time anybody says, oh, we're in blizzard conditions, like, this is no 97. Yeah. Pope John Paul. I didn't realize Pope John Paul I had only been in office for 33 days.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either. I just remember when he died, and it was like shocking. You know, I don't know why it was so prominent in school and we talked about it and everything. I guess that's probably why.
One that interests me on this from a historic standpoint is that there was the balloon escape from East Germany. You know, two families came across the Berlin Wall on hot air balloons and everything. And that's made two different movies out of that, but really interesting to me, at least, because the wall wouldn't come down from there 10 years.
Yeah, well, I don't remember that, though, that story, but that's really cool.
Okay, I think we're down to our last category here, and then we get wrap ups and stuff. So, biggest events of 1978. We talked a couple of these already, but there's some biggies here. What do you think?
I do remember when the test tube baby was born. I remember hearing about that on the news and thinking that was wild. Remember that? Of course, I remember Greece and the impact that it had in 1978. It was everywhere and I loved it. Space Invaders. I remember Garfield, the comic strip.
That's crazy to think that that's been out since 1978 and still going.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a long time.
How many Mondays can Garfield hate? How many lasagnas can he eat before he becomes so morbidly obese?
I remember of the Walkman. I don't know if I had it when it first came out. I did get it at some point in time. but I don't know the exact year. But yeah, the Walkman was pretty cool. You could listen to, you know, your cassettes or whatever with headphones while you were doing homework or anything else, so you wouldn't drive your mom crazy with the stereo.
It's probably one of the coolest inventions for a long time, because every teenager had a Walkman. This is one of the best Star Wars spinoffs ever aired in November of that year.
Have you ever remember Star Wars. I remember. Now, what year was Star Wars in the theaters? Was that 77? Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I saw that one in the theaters. And so I probably did watch that holiday special.
You watched the, oh my, you would remember if you watched the holiday special, because it was painful. It's painful. Was it? Oh, it's painful how bad it is. There's actually a documentary about it that came out last year. I haven't watched it yet, but about why it was so bad. I mean, they were basically forced in their contracts to do it. Mark Hamill had on, like, you know, like they caked everybody up in makeup. It's like Mark Hamill had this eyeliner that's just, you know, it's horrible. B. Arthur was in it. Harvey Korman. It was, it's one of those, watch it. It's on YouTube, but oh, you'll hate it.
Well, now I got to watch it.
Yep. It's you see if you can make it past 15 minutes. It's all about Chewbacca going home to his family and his wife and his little son Lump, or no, I can't remember, his dad's Lumpy or his son's Lumpy. Anyhow, it's life day and Han Solo has to get the Chewbacca back to it. It's horrible.
Oh.
Anything else in the news that really was big that year for you?
Not really. I mean, I kind of remember the Susan B. Anthony dollar.
Susan B. Anthony on the coin's cool, but
I don't remember watching a lot of news, except, you know, I do remember Son of Sam and watching the news, like the 10 o'clock news at night. And I remember, you know, we'd sit there and I just remember wanting to know if he was caught and when there was a new murder and all of that. That was that whole summer. I can vividly remember watching and hearing about that and being afraid, because New York City was not that far from Connecticut. And, you know, just always wondering if he was going to come outside of his hunting grounds there.
I can understand that. Like you said, as a 14-year-old girl, I mean, even more so, probably amplified a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, well, I think we've come to the end of our news there. Anything else about life as in regards to pop culture or anything like that, 1978, that we didn't cover that you thought about or wanted to talk about? Because that's also what I really want to do, is get more about life in the time. Anything that jumps out at you?
I don't think so. You know, it was just a good time. Such a, everything was, you know, you were more like free range kids. You could come and go. I remember being dropped at the mall and nobody ever worried about you. Being able to just do whatever you wanted, basically. You could walk to friends' houses, even if it was a mile, you could go. You just didn't have to worry about anything that you have to worry about today.
Yeah, we've actually brought some of those points up in previous podcasts too, but it is, it's a very different life today. We always talk about the Gen X kids and all that kind of stuff and earlier about how we did definitely just did things that, you know, we did things that were not necessarily the safest. We did things where we, like you said, we could go, you know, miles and be out past dark sometimes and all that kind of thing. But It was a very different time. Nowadays, you worry about, you know, different kinds of things going on out there. And I don't know if it's just the change in culture or the change in our age kind of gives us that sense of necessity to protect ourselves and our kids. But it's a definite change from back then. Those were some good times back in those days.
Yeah. And just the whole lack of cell phones, zero communication. When you went anywhere, it was just, you had to call from your friend's house or whatever, but I would be gone for hours and literally my mom never knew what I was doing or where I was or who I was with. Honestly, mostly I was a good kid, but you just disappear all day and you'd come home before it got dark at dinner time, whatever. And it was just, it was nice. And I remember talking on the phone a lot. That was for girls, maybe more than guys, but we used to just, I had a long phone cord that went into my room. And I remember laying on the floor, the carpeted hallway floor, and just hours just talking on the phone. That was, you know, but that's probably all the 70s.
It was for guys as well, because yes, talking on the phone was a big one. And same thing, had that long old cord that would get tangled to heck.
Yep. But yeah, 14, I probably would have been in the thick of the whole phone thing, on the phone. And I remember being on the phone and also listening to music. And I remember hearing Foreigner. So it about right about that time range. But yeah, talking on the phone for hours was just huge because there was no texting or anything. So you'd always just call. And then we eventually got three-way calling. I don't know when that came out, but we had, like, you could talk to two friends at once. And that was like everything.
Yeah, I did the same thing. It was definitely a phone time. And big thing is much, much different than today. You actually answered the phone back in the day.
Yeah, because you didn't know who was there. You didn't know who was calling. So you always picked it up. And prank calls. I remember doing prank calls a lot. Calling boys' houses, you know, that we liked and all those things.
Lori, the darker side or the darker side's coming up.
Yes.
That's okay. That's good. You know, you got to do some prank calls.
But the three-way calling was excellent because you could have your friend call this guy and ask all these questions and you'd be on the other line and he wouldn't know.
Oh, wow.
Was always fun.
Pretty sneaky, sis. Okay. Well, I think we've done a good job wrapping up 1978. It has been a complete 100% pleasure having you here. I really liked listening to and hearing about your history in this and learning a little bit more about the time frame. I'm happy that you were able to come and do this with me, and I'm looking forward to putting this up and getting this out to the world so they can learn about 1978.
Well, thanks for having me, Jason. It was definitely a blast going down memory lane and a lot of good memories from 1978, and I have really enjoyed being a guest on your podcast.
Excellent. I hope to see you in December. But the big thing here is that now that we're wrapping up 1978, I just want to say that we'll go ahead and I'll read the outro. And then from there, if you want to hang on for a couple minutes, we'll wrap things up ourselves. And that's it for today. So any last words, any advice you would give your 14-year-old self?
Don't sweat the small stuff.
Okay. So that being said, cowabunga, time travelers, that's going to do it for this ride in the tubular time machine. Thanks for cruising back through the raddest years with us. We hope you had as much fun as we did cranking up the nostalgia, reliving those gnarly tunes, iconic movies, epic video games, and all the pop culture goodness that made growing up totally awesome. Major shout out and mondo thanks to my weekly co-host for another righteous trip down memory lane. Your stories and vibes made this retro journey even more bodacious. Want to keep the party going? Hit us up on social media. We're talking Facebook, Instagram, maybe even a little MySpace just for the LOLs. And don't forget to cruise over to tubulartimemachine.com where you can catch past episodes, send us your memories, or suggest a year you want us to fire up in the flux capacitor for next time. And hey, if you're digging the ride and want to help us keep this retro machine rolling, head over to buymeacoffee.com/MrRaz. Your support helps fuel future episodes and keeps the good vibes alive. Until next time, keep your mixtapes fresh, your VHS rewound, and your vibes totally tubular. Catch you on the flip side, dudes and dudettes.
Hey there, dudes and dudettes. It's time to rewind from neon nights to that vintage vibe. Mixtapes, arcades, butterfly clips. We're cruising the past with totally rad tips. Break it up. We're going back to slack bracelets and the killer soundtrack. From rhymes to pops, it's a retro dream. Buckle up in the tube. Past is always rad.